1 billion years in the future, Earth still exists, though maybe not as we imagine it. Eras upon bygone eras worth of technology have been left behind by 8 previous and fallen civilizations. It is now up to the denizens of the 9th world to piece together what was left behind. Perhaps they're looking to carve out their place in the world, or simply to survive a land riddled with weird and unearthly dangers. Or perhaps still, they just wish to learn and uncover the secrets of the Numenera. Whatever it is this new era of adventurers and heroes is looking to discover, they'll have to dig through the imprinted echoes of the past to find it.
Anamnesis. Noun. The recollection or remembrance of the past. Reminiscence. Hello, and welcome to Imprinted Echoes, a family-friendly Numenera actual play podcast. My name is Zan, and I'll be your GM. Thank you for joining us today, and as always, we hope you're staying safe and healthy. The party finally sees Dynafel on the horizon. They're warned of a few things as they enter the city, but honestly, everyone is hoping to relax, even for just a moment, before pressing on. Accommodations are chosen, calm moments are sought out, and new entertainment is considered. Join us as Nehemiah, Smallren, and Jory settle in Dynafel. You all find yourselves standing around a section of quicksand, partially on the road, partially not, and mudhonk prints surrounding it. How do you proceed?
Does anybody have any strong knee to go look at some mudhonks?
Who among us doesn't? I don't necessarily. But
I was going to say, as interesting as it might be, I think that we have more pressing matters we should be thinking about.
I tend to agree.
You either get back on your Anines, or if you hadn't left in the first place, simply get them back up and going. Again, it's easy to get around this area of quicksand. It's not massive. It's just enough to make it a hazard for the situation. You have just a couple days estimated before you reach Dynafel. And on this same day as you're traveling, you reach a small sign on the side of the road that says, "Welcome to Iskabal," which is one of the city-states in the area. So you have currently been riding through Malevich, which is where Sturthal is and everywhere, and you're now crossing over into the Iskabal territory.
Everybody hold your breath. Did anyone else's... Sorry, this is derailing. Never mind.
No, go ahead. What are you asking? Why are we holding our breath?
My dad would always do that when we crossed state lines when we were kids. Like if we were on a road trip and we were coming up on like the sign saying welcome to wherever, he would tell us to hold our breath while we crossed the state line.
I don't think we ever did that. We did it through tunnels.
Yeah, we did it through tunnels and going by graveyards.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was always state lines.
Interesting. As you kind of pass the sign, you see that there is on the side of the road like a little produce stand. And just past that, you can see like a farm and an orchard that this is probably connected to. And there is a young person sitting in a chair near this stand.
I can't hold it anymore.
Go for it, Jory. You're all right.
That was a deep breath. What was supposed to happen? Hello.
I don't think anything was supposed to happen.
You said hold it. Okay.
I think Smallren was messing with you.
Oh.
You only really need to hold it during the moment you go past the sign.
I see. I don't see.
I'll
that was fun anyway. I've learned my breath support is terrible. Hello.
You say hello to the person on the side of the road, and they kind of look up from a book that they're reading, like a bound book. Go, hi, hello. Did you want some Billum fruit?
Yes. Yes, we do. Is this a common fruit?
Yes.
Okay.
This is something that is relatively native to like this portion of the Steadfast, but it's not like you've never heard of this before. It's an orange fruit that has a very, I say, luminescent
quality to it. It's not that it gives off light, but it like reflects light very interestingly and like kind of has like that kind of natural glowy feel to it, like almost kind of like a little translucent-ish. But the flesh of it is like a really deep orange in the center that radiates out to like a really golden yellow. It does not have a pit or anything like that. It is like flesh all the way through, except for kind of like a strawberry. It has like seeds on the outside, all edible. And about the size of like a tennis ball. Yeah, sure. They're 5 for a shin if you want them.
Yes, please.
And they pick up like a little kind of like hand woven bag that has 5 fruit in it and holds it out to you and holds out their hand for the shin.
I will give them a shin.
And you get your fruit. And you have 5 pieces of bilum fruit.
I will pass it around to everybody, including Brex.
Brex kind of just looks at it and puts it in their pack.
It is yours to do with as you see fit.
It is a very tangy fruit, but as that like initial tanginess kind of peters off, it becomes a very like warm and sweet taste. Hmm.
I will take a bite. So where is it that you're from?
Points back to the orchard a little farther back from the road.
I mean, okay, maybe I was going a bit deeper. I don't know. This fruit's really good.
Yeah, we have some of the best in the area.
Your family?
Yeah. Where are y'all headed?
That's a good question.
Southeast, out towards Rachar.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bit of a hike yet to go, but we'll probably cut down south here in a day or so.
Sure. You guys familiar with Iskaball, or are you new here?
I've been through, probably would have been like 3 or 4 years back, but I was just passing through. Why do you ask?
There's just been a lot of politics recently, so.
Oh, boy.
Oh, do tell.
I don't know the details. I just know, like, what my mom tells me when she comes back from taking stuff into, like, Dynafell.
Yeah.
It's just the, you know, the current king, Tika Balin, the previous queen that he kind of deposed. Her sons are back, and it's a whole thing, and there was an attempt on his life. I don't know all the details, but, like, everyone's taking sides, and there's a lot going on.
Ah.
Just know, I guess. I try not to worry about it. It's not like that stuff really comes this far out. As long as folks keep buying our fruit and the economy doesn't completely crash, I think we're fine. But if you're city folk, then you might want to know.
No, appreciate it. Thank you.
Could you tell me what happened to the previous queen? Was she killed? Run out? What happened?
The current king kind of like took the throne from her. A lot of people thought she was kind of unfit to rule anyway. But he kind of took things by force, and then rumor has it she died somewhere in exile.
Yeah, not a great look.
And how have things been since he took over? Is it one of those where everybody could suddenly breathe easier? Or is it one of those where everything for some reason became very gray and the water disappeared and all the fruit was darker and that sort of thing?
That's a lot. I haven't noticed any difference out here, I'm not gonna lie. And also, that happened, like, when I was a kid a while ago. But, like, her sons are back now, and that's the issue, is my understanding. So,
well, that'll do it.
No one's made any big changes that affect us out here, so.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Again, maybe the cities are different.
Have you heard of any blockages? Any trouble getting in or out of the city?
No.
Okay.
I guess I just figured you should know.
Well,
no,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Here, for your trouble, and I will give him another shin free of charge, which would be silly. Free of charge. Strike that, reverse it.
No, yeah, I understand. Without expectation of getting anything.
I like free of charge. I stand by it.
You give them a shin, and they, you know, say thank you, pocket it, and kind of stand there awkwardly for a moment. And when it's clear that there's not real a whole lot of other conversation happening, mm-hmm. whether or not you're still standing there, they sit back down and start reading again.
Sure. Yeah, I think probably saddle up and roll out unless there's any other specific questions.
I say we move on.
Yeah.
The last day before you think you're about to get to Dynafell, Jory, you notice that there are significantly more cracks in your Tetrahydra A. You've kind of just been carrying it along for a while. It's been fine, but there are a lot more hairline cracks in that thing now.
Make anything to think I should have gotten some kind of book or something. I'm wholly unprepared. Does anybody know a lot about hatching eggs, other than keeping them warm?
Can't say that I do.
Can't say that I've ever had any reason to, no.
Not really a bird person.
Yeah, and other than making omelets, I couldn't tell you, sorry.
We're a bit past that point, unfortunately. Yep.
Yeah, clearly. I've seen you carrying this around. I guess I just kind of assumed... I don't know what I assumed. This thing is going to hatch?
It looks like it.
What is it?
Well, see, we were climbing on this cliff, right? And there was this nest, right? And out of a sense of, I don't know, feeling useful, I thought I'd take it. And here we are.
Does Jory actually say what it is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, okay.
Tetrahydra egg. Not one of my clearest decisions, I will say. But here we are, and there's no going back now.
Okay. You know, I've seen weirder things.
I believe you.
And there, I've seen weirder creatures domesticated, so maybe this will work out.
A part of me was almost hoping that when we went after the Tarza, we were going to find some kind of beastmaster who would be able to give us some pointers. But alas.
Alas, indeed.
All right, well, this point it kind of is what it is, you know? Don't know what we're going to do about feeding it. I don't know what you feed a baby one of these things.
Yes. Well, we need to look for a book. I am determined to find a book.
Well, Dynafell's about a day out. Let's get hoofing.
I don't know how long this thing is going to take. It's having a lot of cracks.
They do eat meat, like they're carnivores, especially considered their very numerous little toothy beaks.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually very pack-based, and they're very strong and vicious when they do attack. But usually they are only going to attack if they're threatened.
So what I'm hearing is if we can get this thing to imprint on us, then we're golden. And if not, then we're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
I mean, I guess the good thing is Jory is like the most imprintable on person that I think anyone has ever met or been.
I have been making up lullabies for it.
There it is.
You should have been singing them all along, get it used to it. Mm. Like playing music in utero.
I like to think I was, but I don't know if it can handle.
Yeah. Before bed each night, we just hear the very soft singing coming from Jory's pack. She's just like stroking it slowly.
The next day, you see Dynafell. It is a fairly straightforward looking place from the outside. Has a stone wall, you know, 30 feet high or so, just enough to kind of make a nice protected area. There are a decent amount of people coming in and out. It looks like mostly tradesfolk. More what you're seeing than anything else are loads of unprocessed cotton coming into the city.
Interesting.
And I think I mentioned last time that Dynafell is known for a unique type of spun cotton cloth called Dynafell cloth.
Gotcha.
Or Dynafell cotton, depending on who you talk to.
All right. Here for a day. Keep name usage to a minimum. Honestly, hey, maybe we should go back to the pseudonyms, or do we want, we should probably do new pseudonyms.
Not off the top of my head. I have a couple that I've used before and I could probably use again. They're not necessarily ones that, well, no, if they, never mind. I need something new.
I was going to say, anything that you or I suggest is far too likely to tie us to the lexicon.
That's true.
Hmm.
I just had something very silly pop into my head, and I'm going to run with it.
Please.
How about Zan? I'll go by Zan.
That works.
That might get too confusing. Never mind.
Okay.
I was like, are we all going to be our normal names?
I was going to say,
that would be really funny.
That's so bad.
But I think that might actually be too confusing.
That might actually get confusing.
Yep, yep.
Never mind.
Character names are useful, turns out.
Yeah.
Love the
that
L's,
would
though.
Be very
that
funny,
That would be very
though.
Funny. When we do the Ember players version of this.
There you go. This is our mild-mannered alter egos.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I got one. I'll go by Rufus.
Oh, there it is.
So you got, yes, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That
do it.
Is an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can go by Fahura.
Perfect.
Okay, Adriel. I will be Adriel.
Brex kind of looks around and shrugs.
Hmm. Brex,
Bot.
they do that thing where someone is a little bit offended by something and kind of like takes a step back and like throws their arms out.
I was only joking.
How about Dio?
Brex nods.
Okay.
I'll go by Fenry.
Cool.
It's a name I heard.
A name you heard?
No, yeah, literally. Like, I've heard it before. Like, heard it in the city once kind of thing. I promise it's not actually anything involved in like my backstory. It means very little to me.
Sometimes sounds just work.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right, shall we go?
Yes. Yep.
All right. You head up to the gates, following in, like I said, wagons, a couple travelers, that kind of thing. As you're going in, there are a couple of guards kind of near the entryway that are making kind of like general announcements, kind of like town crier-esque, but more just like an usher would give you information as you enter into a performance, important things to know or stuff that you should be aware of. Welcome to Dynafell. Please make sure that you keep the streets as open as possible. Do not stop along the side unless necessary. Please be aware that Dynafell is currently experiencing a yellow swarm problem. If you see or experience any yellow swarm issues, please report it immediately.
Yellow swarm. Do I know what that is?
Yeah, you know what? Given what you all have experienced previously, I will say that you have not experienced, but definitely either been told of or read about the yellow swarm. Yellow swarms are truly, whether or not people understand this, but they are truly swarms of ultra-dimensional insects. They have lost their ability to maintain themselves in either reality. They kind of look like a swarm of maybe yellow, like locusts or grasshoppers, until you kind of get close and see that they're kind of translucent, maybe oddly disfigured or asymmetrical, or just kind of like not the shaped the way they should be. And they usually tend to stick around spaces that have connections to other dimensions or spaces that have alternate reality basis, that kind of stuff.
So places where the space between reality is thin.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They also stay in swarms because if they separate out, they lose their ability to maintain themselves in this reality.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Most people kind of refer to these things as like something that's demonic or something that is a magical blight. Most people don't necessarily have the knowledge of like, oh yes, these are shifting dimension, but it's still a problem nonetheless because they are hard to get rid of because they are constantly essentially phasing in and out of different realities. So even if you are able to in some way capture them, it's possible that like you won't be able to do anything about them or extinguish them. So as you're coming through the gates, those are the things you hear.
All right.
The warning as you continue walking about the streets and not blocking it becomes very apparent as all of the roads here are exceedingly narrow. They have built all the structures in this city very close together and very, like, there's not really a sidewalk to speak of or anything. Like, it's all right up against the street and it's just enough space for, like, a wagon to pass back and forth on either side and not much more room than that. A lot of hard corners and sharp turns. Most of the structures here are wooden, very simply created and built, kind of out of game. A much more fantasy feel than most other places you've been.
Like, gotcha.
There isn't a whole lot that necessarily at first glance screams Numenera. It feels a little bit more
like we just walked into Bree.
Yeah.
Agrarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pastoral. It's cozy, at least.
Yeah, it's nice. Not gonna lie, I don't really know much about anything here, so in terms of a place to stay, I'm not sure I have a good recommendation. We could probably find someone to give us something if you wanted.
That's good. Good point.
Yeah, just kind of head in and we'll find a spot to duck in for the night, take off in the morning unless something very interesting catches our eye. Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
As you're going through the streets, the first place that looks like it has a inn attached to it is a place called the Ugly Mug. It looks like it's probably more tavern than it is inn, but it does advertise rooms available. Very rough looking, not necessarily the most well-kept exterior. Would you like to stop in here, or would you like to keep going?
This is probably a cheap establishment, but it also looks like the kind of place where no one wants to be asked too many questions. If we're just looking to go unnoticed, it might not be bad, but if we want to try to get information, we will raise notice.
That's a fair point. Why don't we check at least one or two other places, if there is even two, and get a beat on it that way?
Sounds fine to me.
If you go a little further, there are a couple others you see. You see one called Aneen and Far.
That's pretty good.
Oh, I bet they have accommodations for our friends.
This one is kind of midline. Looks nice enough, simple but well-kept, and has a very large stable attached to it. And it does actually have like an advertisement on the side that says Dynafell's highest rated stable. So not only is it a place for you to stay, but also a place for your animals to be well taken care of as well. The other place that you see, probably the ritziest one that you come across, is a place called the Dreaming Arms. Ooh. And in addition to being able to, outside, having like a list of what it would cost for like room and board and food and things like that, it also has a list of prices for dream experiences.
Mm. Dream spa.
Each of us takes one place. It's back.
How we feeling?
Aneen and Far.
I probably would be a good idea to give the beasts a nice place to stay.
Yes. Just so you know, if we go with that one, I would like to rent an extra stable for my egg, just in case.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea there.
Okay.
All right. I guess we're going to the Aneen and Far.
You head up to the Aneen and Far, and as you approach, you obviously have animals, and there's a couple stable hands who are actually waiting outside, and one of them calls up to you, "Are you looking to stay the night?"
"Yep."
"We'll hold on to your beasts until you're able to make arrangements. We'll be well taken care of out here until your stable is assigned."
"Excellent, thank you."
And they kind of like hold the reins, pull them off to the side, like off the street, into like a little like, almost like a holding pen kind of area. As you enter in, the person behind the front desk is a tall and thin woman who is middle-aged, but looks young. The only thing that's kind of giving her away as being a little bit older is the fact that her short hair is starting to gray pretty severely. And she welcomes you in. "Welcome to the Aneen and Far. Are you looking to book a room or
room and stables.
A couple rooms?" "Wonderful. How many of you are staying here and how many rooms are you looking for?"
"3. What do you think? 2 to a room?"
We got Dio here, so there'll be one of us is going to be riding. So anyone in particular want to grab a bunk on their own for the night?
Oben, a.k.a. Fenry, says, "I have no problem rooming alone."
"All right."
"That's fine." So you book 2 doubles and a single.
Yep.
All told, that'll be a total of 8 shins needed for the rooms for you. And she says, "If you've already booked rooms and you're also looking to stable any of your animals, there is a discount for it. It's usually 2 shins a night. However, in booking a room, it does come with a shin discount." So,
okay.
How many beasts do you have with you today?
That's a very good question.
4.
I think it's 4.
We've got 4 Aneen, and then we've got the egg here that will also, we would like accommodations for, so we'll call it 5.
We can absolutely give you a space for that egg. I would just like some more information about if this egg is going to be putting us in any sort of danger.
"Not as far as I'm aware."
"Wonderful.
But I'll tell you what, could we put some money down and rent one? But if you really need it, that's fine. Just let us know. I will keep this with me. And if we need it, then we have it. Is that all right?"
"Yes, I can put it on reserve for you. As long as you're paying for it, it doesn't really matter to me how it's used."
"All right. I didn't want to put anybody else out, but how about that?"
I go ahead and I just pay the shins to get everything taken care of.
That'll be another 5 for...
Yep. Already done on my sheet.
"Wonderful. thank you so much. I will just need names to put down on the rooms, which you give your code names, your aliases, I assume.
Yep.
She hands you each like an old school style key, like a skeleton key.
Nice.
And each one has like a little wooden placard that has a room number on it. There's a couple stories of this. Most of the buildings here have kind of been built up rather than wide because of how narrow everything is. It's not like five stories high, but there's three stories of solid wooden structure here. Everything creaks as you walk through. And you notice that in this space in particular, there is like no Numenera.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the way it has been in the streets. Like plenty of people have their, you know, ciphers and artifacts, and other buildings seem to have things attached to them or various things that are being in use as you kind of like peeked your head in different establishments. But this one specifically, you don't see practically anything in sight Numenera wise. My name is Salbera. If you need anything, please let me know. And if you need anything from the stables, our Beastmaster's name is Joshi, and you can see them out there. And she hands like a list of your animals and needs for them off to an assistant or like a clerk that's kind of standing near her, who then runs that list out front for your Anine to be taken to their lodging. If you head to the rooms, they are fairly simple. There is running water, but it's not heated in any way. You can open up like a tap. It's kind of more like well water scenario than it is necessarily modern plumbing.
Sure.
The rooms that you have all face kind of like the street, like there's a small window that faces the street on like the second story.
Who do you think would be most equipped to hang with myself and the egg in a room? Brex, about you, in case things get out of hand?
Brex shrugs and nods in a way of saying, yeah, sure, I guess.
I'm waiting till we're alone to use their real name.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brex goes with Jory and Nehemiah and Smolrin in the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When they say double occupancy, they mean bunk beds.
Aww.
So I want to know who takes top and who takes bottom.
Smolrin immediately clambers up into the top bunk.
That sounds right.
Yep.
And you said Jory takes top bunk
I
too?
I do. Well,
awesome.
I feel like Brex.
It's safer. For us all.
You're probably right.
I'm quite a wee, and they are not.
You walk in, and Brex, like, puts a foot on the ladder to get up to the front one, and the rung of the ladder kind of, like, creaks and cracks just a little bit. Like, doesn't splinter, but you hear that kind of, like, groan of the weight. And then they step back down and kind of, like, sadly sit on the edge of the bottom bunk.
Oh, they wanted a bunk, a top bunk. One day.
Once we get home, we'll get Rufus on it.
Are these the kind of bunk beds where the ladder is built in, or is it like something that could be removed?
You know what? It doesn't matter to me, so whatever which is the one you want is fine.
I want it to be removable because, yeah, Smolrin clambers up into the
pull
top.
Up the ladder.
Well, no, she clambers up into the top bunk, kind of like settles herself, looks around, climbs back down, unhooks the ladder, puts it on the floor and slides it under the bed, and then climbs back up the bedpost to get up so that no one can follow her.
I was going to say, it's just a rope. No, that's amazing.
Nehemiah just shakes his head and flops on the bottom bunk.
As you all are kind of just like getting adjusted in your rooms, unpacking a little bit, just enough to make yourselves comfortable and spend a day here, you hear kind of a commotion outside. Do you look out the windows?
Oh, yes.
It's not like a fighting commotion. It's not quite people cheering, but the kind of sound that you might hear from a parade.
Hmm.
Kind of like boisterous, noisy, and you look out and you see a short, rotund man walking down the street with a rather large entourage behind him. Imagine the Queen's entourage at a Renaissance festival.
Mm.
Not quite that large, maybe a dozen people behind him, but that kind of level of presence.
Sure.
All in various different clothing. In fact, the clothing is very, very fancy. Couture, very almost avant-garde in some ways. And walking next to this man who's out in front is a, what looks to be like a metal dog.
Oh, it's a good dog.
And they're walking through the streets, and it is hard for the people who are trying to traverse because they are taking up a good portion of these already narrow roads. Mm-hmm. But people are very willingly moving aside and waving at them and greeting them kindly. This man is like laughing and waving and kind of just like saying hello to everyone mm-hmm. that he happens to see.
Hmm. Brex, I'm guessing this is one of the sons. What do you think?
Brex shrugs.
Interesting. I'll keep observing.
They actually stop out in front of the Ninanfar, and he kind of sends one of his folks into the building to see to something. And while they're kind of out in the road, he continues to like greet people and generally have a conversation. Hmm.
Seeing all this kind of happen out the window, Nehemiah will just kind of pop the window open and just casually, like, you know, lean out, like try and be as mellow as he can, like probably pull like some ration or something just to munch on, and just kind mm-hmm. of eavesdrop down into the road, see if he can pick on what's going on.
Yeah, the conversation is very casual. Mm-hmm. This person seems to be talking to someone who owns like a bar nearby and okay. talking about how things got pretty rowdy last night. Glad it didn't go any far. Farther than that, by all means, I'll pay for whatever damages were done. I know things, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But it's all very amicable. It's not like, you know, this barkeep was demanding payment or anything like that. It's just a conversation of like, ah, sure. that's fine kind yep. of thing. And over the course of listening to things and hearing people address this man, you learn that this is the mayor of Dynafell, mm-hmm. Mayor Harkorth Munn. Based on what you're seeing and hearing, he's very well regarded. He's well known and well liked.
Interesting.
After a little while, the person that he sent into the building comes back out and talks to one of the stable hands that are outside and gives him like a slip of paper, who then goes over out of sight from where your windows are, assumingly to the stable, and brings a ornately saddled Brem back. Mm. Remember those very reptilian mounts, the same ones that had been chasing you out of Sturthal. Mm-hmm. But this one is, I don't want to say you can necessarily tell that it's not as well trained, but it's clearly not like a military mount. This is a showy mount. This is something that he rides around the city for the sake of riding it around the city. Mm-hmm. And so gets the mount, couple of his entourage help him onto the back of the Brem before continuing on down the way.
Is Nehemiah still in the bottom bunk, or is he still leaning out the window?
He kind of has his butt on the windowsill, just kind of looking forward. So half eye on you.
Okay.
Actively watching.
All right.
He knows what he's about, and he knows what you're about. Basically staying in a haunted house tonight.
What now?
Honestly, I need to find a place to watch the some road dirt off.
There is like a communal outdoor shower situation.
Like a dorm bathroom situation.
Basically. So like kind of like attached out to the back. Mm-hmm. There is like a couple stalls with like showers. It is cold water though.
Right.
So if you want just a quick cold shower to wash stuff off, that'll work. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for something at least warm or a little bit more soothing, there is somewhere else you're going to have to seek out.
I will let everyone know that this is my plan. Anybody else want to come with?
Brex nods, though you know that they're not going to necessarily partake in a bath.
Sure. Brex wants to do a walkabout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brex also could be finding the equivalent of a car wash.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, that's funny.
If you're dusty, they're dusty.
Bring them inside.
Bring your hollowed glaives inside.
Listen, there's a lot of crevices good. In a suit of armor.
You're not wrong.
Oben says that he'll join as well.
Mm-hmm. Smallrin decides to stay behind.
It doesn't take long, honestly, to find like a bathhouse. There are two different sections to it. There's like kind of just a public, everyone can enter kind of thing mm-hmm. area. Or there is a space where if you want to like rent out a room for private use, you can do that too. Mm-hmm. It is a shin for the public side or three for the rented space.
And Nehemiah will spring for the rented.
There's a number of different doors for these different private baths.
Yeah.
And as you're going there, you off to the side see like a bigger room, and you see the mayor now over there who has started to bring some of his entourage into that larger area. It's clear this is kind of like his private space. And you kind of like catch his eye, like he sees you kind of down the hall and he goes, "Whoa, welcome to the Tub and Towel. This is one of my favorite establishments. I hope you enjoyed. Is this your first time?"
It is, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful. First time in Dinafell or just first time at the Tub and Towel?
Oh, stopped through Dinafell a couple of years back, just passing through, kind of same thing, just here for the night.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I hope you enjoy. Things have changed a bit over the years, but not much. Everything is still absolutely wonderful. I hope you have a chance to bask in the simplistic glory that Dinafell can offer. And by all means, if you're staying longer than just a day or so, please take a moment to check out our wonderful dreaming reliquary and buy yourself some new clothes while you're here. And that is both a boast on how good their textile industry is and also a slight dig at what Nehemiah
is wearing. Yeah, no, like, Nehemiah knows what's going on. Like, it's road clothes. Nehemiah doesn't own any nice clothes. But even if he did, he wouldn't have brought them.
But that's fair.
Fair enough point. I'll keep an eye out. Thank you, sir.
Wonderful. Enjoy your stay. Mm-hmm. And he turns to go down the hallway again, bringing everyone with him into this custom bathhouse area.
Mm-hmm.
A fairly simple setup. Wooden tub that has been sunk into the ground, and it has a bit more Numenera here. So there are two devices kind of off to the side, one that seems to be providing heat to the area and to the water as it pumps it through. And the other one has like a little dial on it. Currently it's at what looks like zero, and then there's one, two, and three.
Okay. Nehemiah will kind of play around with the dials, see what's going on.
It's a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
So it is your level and intensity of bubbles and jet stream.
All the way up to 11. I know they only go up to 3. They're going to 11.
But for sure. You crank it up. You and Oban take some time to relax in the tub. And Brex kind of just like stands in the air. There's like a bench off to the side and kind of like sits there and waits.
Fair enough. Nehemiah will, before anybody gets into a tub, soak a towel and kind of pass it off to Brex so that they
wipe
themselves down a little bit, get some of the road dust off.
Yeah, they appreciate it and do a good scrub down.
Probably should visit some kind of clothier while we're here in town.
Looks like there's quite a few options.
Yeah, but, you know, keeps us blending in. If we're grading certain parts of the kit, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have a formal option for us here.
That's very true. I'm interested to what reliquary that he was talking about.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Like, I don't know how much time we want to linger, but, you know, the part of me that does enjoy a travel is a little curious. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
Yeah. Oban kind of takes a little bit of time to kind of just, like, silently relax for a bit, but then also does ask a little bit more about your history. He knows about the bonfire games. Yeah. He knows about all of that stuff with Serratus. Like, that is not a part of his questioning. He's actually very curious as, like, so you spent time in the beyond? And like, starts asking questions about, like, what you've done.
Sure.
And your adventures in between the time where he kind of, like, knows what your life was like and now.
Sure. Nehemiah plays things fairly, entirely honestly, except he does not give specific information about where the exact location of the city. That is the one thing he plays very close to the chest, just because it is small, it is basically undefended. And the fewer people know where it is, the more likely it will still be there when he gets back and under somebody else's control.
Well, it makes sense that the four of you are as close as you are then.
Yeah, we've been working together for about a year now.
And gone through a lot in such a short amount of time.
When it rains, it pours. It,
I understand that.
Yeah. What about you? I mean, did you jump directly into your prior employer or, I mean, no, they...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have a choice
there.
No,
you didn't. You didn't.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, that's kind of where I've been since.
Okay.
It was rough, honestly.
Didn't seem like an easy place to work.
A lot of secrets to keep. When you have the person who's running the city, who is also one of the head organizers of the local crime syndicate, you never can be quite sure who knows what.
For sure. Here's to a better life.
To a better life. And I was trying to think of like something to do like a toast, but I'm like, you are in a tub.
I mean, I'm picturing like the kind of bro, like the side
like a,
fist yeah,
like
bump.
Like a bro fist bump.
Like a bro fist bump. Or like they maybe we could like drop a shin and get like a bucket of beers or something.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Seems like a thing that could exist.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you toast to a mm-hmm. better life.
Yeah.
Jory, you take a cold shower out back. Smallren, do you take a cold shower as well?
No. As soon as everyone's gone, including Jory, Smallren's going to break into Oban's room and poke around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll come back to that then.
Yep.
Jory, you go down and take a cold shower. It is a cold shower. It is not particularly comfortable, but it does feel nice to be clean when you're done. As you were coming back at the front desk, there's a person talking to Selbera who is dressed in very flowing, ethereal garments and is wearing almost like a headdress of sorts that has these like large flowing wisps of fabric that seem to almost like float on their own. And they are saying to her, could you please just put this notice up? All of the other establishments are helping us out here. It'd be wonderful if you could. And she kind of looks down at the poster of sorts that has been placed in front of her. Yeah, we can put it up. We have a community board near the door there. Feel free to tack it up. And this person kind of goes up and tacks it on the board. And then, clearly not floating, but because of the fabric and clothing that they're wearing, does seem to almost float out the door.
Who is that?
Oh, that's just a member of the Slumbered Spectacle.
The Slumbered Spectacle?
Oh, you just came into town, didn't you?
I did, yes.
It's a local performance troupe. They, without getting into the details of it, because honestly, I don't necessarily trust or understand what they do, but they're able to perform dreams.
Oh, I see. That was mentioned earlier. That's fascinating. Have they been around long?
No, they've been around for a while. I just, I don't particularly like their methods.
Oh, why is that?
Would you trust some strange Numenera device pulling the dreams out of your head so someone else can act them out in front of you?
I suppose not. Do they just act them out in front of you, or do they have an audience?
No, it's a large audience.
Ooh. That could be embarrassing.
And it is. Well, I mean, you do consent to it, but you couldn't get me within 10 feet of something that would poke around in my head. Not to mention the fact that most of that prior world nonsense is a whole lot of hullabaloo for nothing.
I see. I will look at the poster, if I may.
It is advertising a new series where they can take multiple dreams from multiple people and weave them into a storyline to perform.
Oh, neat.
When it used to be kind of like a singular event.
Ooh, I am fascinated by this. Does it say they're performing soon?
It's more like a daily thing that they're performing. It's not like a one time only. It's like we do this every day at this location.
Mm. I will take a mental note of it because it's very interesting for no other reason than I suppose it could be useful, and I'm sort of afraid of it, but I'd still kind of want to take it in. Well, thank you for this.
Yeah, I would suggest staying far away from them.
Very well. Do you happen to know any place to eat around here? Any other than here, if you have food? I don't mean to be offensive. Just,
No, we do have food, but there's plenty of local establishments. If you're looking for something specific, if you look near that community board, there is a list of different establishments in the area that could probably suit your needs.
Oh, thank you. I will look for two things. One, some place where I think I can get something spicy. And by I mean we. I'm looking for everyone. And two, if there's anything akin to a gelato shop.
Bringing it back.
You find a place that sounds like it sells really spicy soup, as well as a couple of, like, dessert-type places, maybe a more like pastries, but they're worth checking out to see if they have any sort of, like, ice cream or gelato.
I will add that to my list of things to do and tell the rest about, because after that cold shower, spicy soup sounds amazing. Not gonna lie.
For sure. You get your list of places and head back upstairs. And I think we're going to hold off on Smallren's sneaking around and snooping until next time, but you all take a moment to kind of just, again, be in a city for a little while and get your feet back under you for a moment.
Let Smallrin snoop. Let Smallrin snoop.
Let Smallrin snoop. Get to snoop. Now, hold on.
I know.
Smallrin snoop. Hold on.
Smallrin's always snooping. Yeah.
Next time on Animus.
That's the name of the game.
Smallrin snoops.
Also, let Smallrin snoop is actually really hard to say.
Yeah.
It is. Thank you so much for listening to episode 114 of Imprinted Echoes and Amnesis. And a quick shout out to those of you on our Discord server that actually listen all the way through this outro every single time, possibly just to hear what I will call the various social media sites. So I'm just going to have fun with this. As always, if you'd like to follow the podcast on social media, you can find us on the website formerly known as Twitter and Facebook at Imprinted Echoes, and our website, imprintedechoes.com. On our website, you'll find links to the Ghostlight Media merch store and our Patreon if you're able to help us out monetarily. And on that note, I'd like to thank Carl, Trent, and Two Nerds in a Pod for their continued support. If you want to help us out in other ways, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a rating and review, and tell a friend about the show. You can also find our hosts on that previously aforementioned social media site. Myself at Covered in Sawdust, Chase at TQ Loudly, Rin at Rin_Moran, and Bridget at Really Bridget. And be sure to follow our network, Ghostlight Media, at GLM Pods. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll be back in 2 weeks to hear yet another episode of Imprinted Echoes. And until then, may your ciphers never malfunction. Imprinted Echoes is produced by Zan Campbell Johannes and Chase Greenlee, and is edited by Alex Berkowitz. Original show theme music is by Justin Longacre.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.